The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on 100.2 FM, Freeview 277, and online at bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Hello, Paul Andrews.
Hello. You all right?
Yeah, I'm loving this weather. I just find it absolutely beautiful. Yes.
Thank you. Oh, the weather. Right, okay.
The weather. I had a little swim in the sea the other night.
Is that all right?
About 8 o'clock this morning. Well, you know, one looks where one's going and dodges the you-know-what.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't we? Because we've had Fergal Sharkey down to Whitstable, you know.
Have you?
Yeah. Yeah. Not singing, but purveying.
Poo-pointing.
Poo-pointing. Yeah, I think we came worse. We've just got a blue flag as well. I mean, how does that happen?
Really?
Yeah. There's a blue flag, 2023, shining on the Tankerton Slope.
Is there really? Blimey.
I don't know what's going on. It must be bribing or something.
Well, I don't know. I don't know.
Anyway, I swim and I have a little... you know, like those tea strainers.
What, in front of your mouth? Yeah. Just so you don't swallow any.
All around, one in each hand.
Lovely.
So when I do backstroke, it's like that.
Yeah,
that works well on radio, doesn't it?
Yeah, lovely.
Yeah, and then, of course, Darcy Greyhound, you may have noticed.
Oh, she's been on your sofa again, hasn't she?
I know. And not only that, we've got sort of a love seat that my
husband isn't that lovely?
But I was on it trying to watch Elton John. New husband was working. He had a speech to write for someone and a client. And so she stood there looking at me.
Right.
And I didn't really know. I said, do you want a biscuit or something? No, she just stood there looking for about 10 minutes. And I got really bored trying to watch Elton John. And then I realised she wanted me to move over so she could get on as well.
Right.
So now she's on the love seat with me and the new husband's working, writing speeches.
Right.
And it's not right.
And the new husband's not allowed on the sofa.
No, he's too furry.
Gavin, get off. Get down. Down.
he's much too furry.
Yeah.
But yeah, loving the weather. And I've managed to... We've got a little hall stand, this Victorian thing that I've dragged around from various houses. And in the winter, it's absolutely bunged up. We've got woolen hats, scarves, hats. Now, it's just got a little sun hat on and a dog lead.
Exactly. And talking about that, did you see the latest madness that they came out with today?
Dog lead?
No, nothing to do with that. The police have announced there's an instant £5,000 fine if you're caught wearing sunglasses driving a car.
You're joking.
I'm not.
I wear sunglasses all the time driving.
I've got prescription sunglasses. How's that work?
What is that? Because you need it for the glare. In fact, I have Polaroids. Do you remember when they used to arrest people for eating an apple? There was that sort of phase.
Yeah, they went through a little phase of that, didn't they?
Some sort of vicar going along at 20 miles an hour, and he was eating a little apple, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And he got arrested. So now it's sunglasses.
Sunglasses.
And what's
now
their reasoning?
I've no idea. I don't think they know either. I think it's just they just dreamt up something to stop you for.
I think they should catch burglars personally, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I caught a burglar once.
Did you?
Is he still
in your wardrobe?
With swag on his back.
Yeah.
No,
Let me out.
My neighbours.
I'll never do it again.
my neighbours were away, and we've got PC Camp, Andy Camp, who's amazing copper.
I know Andy.
Camp. How do you know him?
I don't know. I know him from somewhere.
Do you?
Yeah.
Not from me, probably, because I'm always wearing it. But anyway, he used to patrol Whitstable High Street. Now, of course, we don't. But at this time, I saw my neighbour's doors were open, and I knew they were at work in London. And it was summer, but the doors were wide open. So I smelt a rat, and I called the police. And the squad cars came. But, of course, they come from... Where do they come from? Like, miles away. They don't know Whitstable.
Yeah.
This is about 15 years ago. And so we got an alleyway running. Whitstable was full of smugglers' alleyways. So I said to these guys that came in the squad car, you know, he's going to jump in the alleyway to escape. I said, you need to drive around one that end. So I'm commandeering the whole burglary.
That's what I call a Columbo, you know.
So anyway,
that and a dirty Mac.
Because I've got a metal knee, I thought, I don't really want to be stuck in this alleyway with some mad burglar and loads of, you know, quite nice policemen, actually. And then they came with the German Shepherds.
Right.
And they were shouting, come on, F this, you know, they're revving him up to jump.
Mm.
You know, all the adrenaline's going. So I said, I think I'll just go to my house now.
Mm-hmm.
Left them to it. Go up to my office, and then my cat is doing this.
Right.
Looking out into my garden.
Right.
Dog's asleep. But the cat's alert like this. So I went and looked in my garden, and the burglar had jumped over into my garden and was hiding under my trampoline.
don't know that.
I shrieked, "He's here!" You know, like this, and then boom, boom, boom. All these burly men, rather than all this testosterone came jumping over my wall, and they caught him and they dragged him off. And then I kept saying to him, "Oh, come around and have a beer or glass of wine." Very nice. But Andy Camp recommended me for an award.
Really? Yeah.
Because I never got
a busybody of the year.
No, burglar catcher. But because they're not local police, they don't know about the alleyways. So
yeah.
I was like,
I remember that program, In the Avenues and Alleyways.
Do you?
Yeah. Or was that the Persuaders?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it sounds like a Tony. What's his name?
Yeah,
songs were Where the Alleyways.
That's him.
Tony.
Yeah.
What's his name?
Yeah.
What's his name?
Oh, that's him.
Robinson.
No, not Tony Robinson.
Tony Howard.
No.
I know you mean.
And the song that
Not
you...
Not the Ash or something.
Yeah, no, the song that you half sung was, in fact, the song that was the opening to the Persuaders.
I was listening to Joe
Lumley. It was Tony Curtis and Roger Moore.
Yeah, Roger Moore. My dad used to look like Roger Moore. Do you remember The Saint?
Yeah.
Because he had that sort of hair.
Well, because he had a halo or...
No, he just had that haircut. He was very handsome, my father, when he was... I'm sure he was. In his heyday.
Yeah.
Quite a few tweets we've had.
Yeah, I'm going to read one.
Yeah, go on.
We've had a tweet from the lovely folks at Athelbray, and they say, Vanilla Web, that's me. Could we ask for a humongous shout-out for the director of our company, Fran, who enters a new decade on Friday? Not quite sure how she's waving goodbye to the 20s, as her mum is only 21. Yeah, okay, Kate. Fran's a hard-working business owner, mother, daughter, sister and friend. So a fantastic, big, huge shout-out to Fran at Athelbray Limited, who I guess is going to be 30 on Friday. Sorry for mentioning that, Fran. Mm. But you're looking good on it. So happy birthday, Fran, and hope you have a wonderful time.
We would love to see a picture of the cake and things.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Because I was going to say, I'm a bit jaded today because I had lunch with my mum, who's 93 in October, and a few of her cronies went round. I was only dropping off a few of her cronies so they could have a snifter. Mm. And then, of course, I'll stay and have one glass. And then it was karma, it was organic. It was my
she
one,
she
my
has one glass, but it is a pint glass.
Yeah, and it's my one weakness, karma. So I stayed, and then my new husband had to come with the dog, and I walked the dog home, and he drove home and dropped off various people. But girls' day party, these 90-year-olds, it's ridiculous. So I'm very jaded today because of them.
Right.
But my mum made homemade quiche, Paul Andrews.
Made what? Homemade?
Quiche.
Right, okay.
Homemade sausage rolls.
Right.
With the sausage meat from the local Thurman's Butchers in Tankerton.
Well, where is it? Did you bring me one?
No, I didn't. No, I left three for the new husband. Because he's always a bit sad on Tuesday.
Well, you look after him. You never look after me.
I know. Well, you know, he's very sad on it. He's very crestfallen on Tuesday. Oh, you're just going to go and be with Paul for the day, and I'll have to fend for myself. I usually get a pie.
Sorry, Gav.
Yeah, he has to fend for himself.
Chips and Dinks have tweeted.
What they're saying.
Another Business Bunker show to look forward to, whether you listen live or listen on the catch-up. Business Bunker supporting SMEs, business owners, startups, entrepreneurs. Support local business. Thank you.
And
that's the lovely Bev and Tony at Chips and Dinks.
And we must say, they are very good at chipping and dinking.
They're very good at repairing chips and dinks, among a lot of other things that they do, to upcycle and repurpose and do things.
They do amazing things to old kitchens, don't they?
They certainly do. Yeah, okay. They restored my dining table as well and changed colour on it and everything.
Yeah, what colour was it before?
It was just wood.
Now it's black.
And now it's matte black. Yeah, it's lovely.
I wouldn't go for matte black.
No, but it went with the rest of the
decor. Luckily, I don't live with you, but I like some sort of distressed white. Maybe they'll do that next time.
Possibly. Yeah.
Look, Emma Haynes, who's on later, Haynes, she tweeted when she's on train.
Yeah.
She's come on train.
Is she from Yorkshire?
No, but I just felt like doing that. So she said, she's from Brighton, you know.
That's near enough Yorkshire, isn't it?
Yeah, so she says, on the train to do the
first... How do you speak in Brighton, then? Emma, how do you speak in Brighton?
London, isn't it?
I don't think I'm a proper representative.
It's London,
it's
isn't it?
Slightly London-y, yeah.
They're all DFLs, aren't they? Zoe Ball. DFLs, aren't they? Do you know what DFL is? Down from London.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, there's people in Whitstable. I've been in Whitstable. Well, my son was born there 27 years ago, and he's still a DFL, and he was born in Whitstable.
All right.
So I think Brighton's a bit the same.
Yeah, but you're not even from London anyway. You're from Essex.
I know. But anyway, I was reading about Emma, so she says... on the train to do the first live in... Should I do it in Yorkshire or just in...
Yeah, you might as well. I mean, it's nothing like Emma, but yeah, why not? Seeing as Yorkshire is the only accent you can half do, you might as well do it in Yorkshire.
I could do it in South African, boy.
Yeah, you could. Why not change halfway through? That's what you normally do. Start off Yorkshire and then go to South African about halfway through.
With the fabulous Jewel Sirkin and her co-presenter, Tibor.
It doesn't say that.
On the Business Bunker, she's used the B-Bunker hashtag, so 2 points... Emma, and she's going to talk about, can I say this, benzodiazepines, I know that, so prescription drugs,
mm-hmm.
and the documentary that she's planning.
Mm-hmm.
In pre-production right now.
Pre-production, playing with life.
A bit like the show then.
Yeah.
We're in pre-production here.
Guess what she's packed?
Oh, go on.
No biscuits, but she's got flip-flops.
Right.
An umbrella.
Yep.
Because we're in England.
Well,
a raincoat.
Yep.
Sun cream in true British style. London, Kent, real talk. And there's a little picture of...
Yeah, it's a nice picture. The weather forecast for today is somewhat dodgy, isn't it? It's a bit of this and a bit of that.
It's that Clapham, the Thames, isn't it, that picture?
Yeah, so that's just along Shard. From Tate Modern and the Shard. Yeah.
The Shard, that's amazing. I love your photos. Who's that lovely man walking there?
I have no idea. We need to find him. Yeah.
Yeah. Put out a call, see if you can track him down.
Yeah.
Wayne Cunnington's tweeted, I hope to be listening in today to the Business Bunker Show with Jules and her co-host. Oh, we started all this with her co-host Paul. Got to love a bit of banter and with some local business news. Thank you, Wayne. Because Wayne didn't listen last week, did he?
Well, he said he was, but then
he didn't tweet, though.
Because he tweets when
he's listening, so we know.
Yeah,
we know.
I think he got distracted by the weather and his gardening, and he's got a nice
garden. Yeah, that will be it.
Dragon Co-working, have you read that?
No.
So the lovely Dragon Co-working, they're saying, have a great show today, guys. We'll be listening in.
Mm.
Nice picture of some headphones, emoji, but no B-Bunker hashtag. So,
Roland.
5 points, thank points. And if you want to get in touch with them, they are on www.dragoncoworking.co.uk, and they are a co-working space that provides an excellent working environment for the community of business owners, agile workers. Does that mean someone that can, you know, vault?
Of course it does.
An agile worker. And freelancers in the Medway, Kent area, and you can book a tour with them, they say.
It's fantastic. It's a fantastic space, Dragon Co-working. Really wonderful, and they've got a brilliant community going on over there. If you're in Medway and you want some of that type of office space, highly recommend it.
And the lovely Tracy Ferguson is listening live from Gravesend.
Hi, Tracy.
She's gone. She's commuted.
She's in Gravesend.
She's commuted from Rochester. She's in the town centre, she says. And you can find Tracy at Plucky's World. That's Plucky with a Y. Pluckysworld.com, and she is a personal growth trainer and mentor, and she says the time to do what you love is now. Everybody exit.
All right, then. See you later. Steph Young's tweeted. I'm really looking forward to tuning into the Business Bunker today with Vanilla Web and her little and his little assistant Jules.
Oh yeah, I think you put that in.
And guests. Thank you, Steph. Thank you for joining us. I hope your electricity holds up.
Sarah Marsh Collings is saying, well, let's tell you what she is. So she's babelmonkey.co.uk, that's B-A-B-E-L monkey.co.uk. She's the owner of a Spanish Breton and a Springer Spaniel.
What's the Spanish Breton?
I think it's
an onion or something.
A pirate, isn't it?
Something like that.
Triangular hat.
Okay.
I think it's got four legs. And she is a digital marketing guru. And you can find their Twitter, Babel Monkey, ME. So she's an advertising and marketing agency.
Cool.
Listening in.
M Farmers Markets have tweeted. They said, Vanilla Web, Jules Sirkin, we'd have a shout out for all the wonderful local producers who are part of the Lenham Country Market. It won gold award in the Kent Food and Drink Market category at the Taste of Kent Awards recently. And the next Lenham Market date is the 9th of July. So do get along there.
I noticed as I was driving through from Whitstable, lots of little county fairs and pubs putting on fetes and garden stuff. It's really nice to see. I think when the weather comes out, we can really support the hospitality and especially al fresco dining.
Absolutely.
Nice.
I Trust Assurance have tweeted. They're minimalist. They do minimalist tweets. It just says Business Bunker.
Okay.
Fair enough. So all you need to know.
They're probably busy.
They're very busy. Nick and the team at I Trust Assurance.
Doing assurance.
It's a whistleblowing app. Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say to you, did you see Chrissy Hynde? You haven't, have
no,
you?
No, you asked me that just now.
Yeah, have I asked you live? Or was it off air?
No, you
remember.
Asked me live. I'm listening, Chrissy. I didn't see Chrissy Hynde.
She was amazing. Was it live that I asked him? I thought it was pre-show.
I don't care.
Well, let me tell you about her. She was amazing. So, still got the same
hairstyle. She always was amazing, yeah.
Yeah, but she still is. So, she still has the same hairstyle that I had in the 80s. When
she borrowed it off you? Oh, well.
Probably, I don't know. So, you know, that punk rock stuff.
Mm.
And she was skinny as a rake, in black jeans and little boots and stuff. Playing the guitar, she was absolutely brilliant, and I really enjoyed that set, so watch that. I advise you to watch it on BBC iPlayer.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we watched Guns N' Roses, Axl Rose, and Slash.
Slash, yeah.
My goodness, that guitarist.
Mm.
Like Emma.
He's a bit good, isn't he?
He really is good, and I was watching him, and he's like, how can you play guitar and then bounce around the stage? I mean, when I play guitar, I have to wedge it between my knees and...
Mm.
Try and do it, and it hurts your fingers and all that. So he was amazing, and he's got all his jewellery on and rings. I said to my new husband, I'd like you to wear more jewellery. He's got a couple of bangles, but I find it quite sexy when men wear like beads.
Right, okay.
It's a look I like.
Yeah, okay.
Are you with me, Emma, on men's jewellery?
Yeah.
A look you like?
Yeah, I think it can work.
I mean, not medallions, you know what I'm saying? Not gold medallions.
There's a limit, isn't there?
Yeah, exactly.
I've just been sent a rather... horrible gif in response to something you tweeted earlier. There's a fat bloke in Speedos in this gif. Did you tweet something about Speedos earlier?
Well, I asked you, are you wearing Speedos?
I thought it might be you.
Because where I am, we've got a nice sea breeze, but as you come inland, it's quite hot, isn't it? I love the hot weather, don't worry. But I wondered if you were going to, you know, address the weather and come in Speedos.
No, I've got air conditioning here.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to tell you about this. We've got a coffee morning at the Kenwood Trust. It's a monthly Kenwood coffee morning. Cakes and savouries available. And the next one is on Thursday the 29th of June. That's this Thursday. 10:30 till 3 p.m. No need to book. Just drop in and help yourself to some cakes and coffee. It's at the cafe in Kenwood Trust, Kenwood Road, Yalding, just outside Maidstone. Be there. It's a lovely place.
Yalding, I went to with BBC when they did my garden years ago. Chris Beardshaw, flying gardener. You wouldn't have that now, would you? A helicopter would be like, oh dear. So he and I did this gardening thing, and they took me to Yalding, and they've got a lovely, lovely wild place there that you can go to gardening. I can't remember its name. Yalding, probably.
Mm.
But it floods a lot there, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Harry Cover, our friend, he had our Stefan. He flooded loads.
Yeah, the village does. Yes, it does flood. Where we are, Kenwood Trust, we're on a hill, and we look down into the valley, and it does become a lake when it rains. But luckily, we're safe up on the hill.
My dear old dad always said, "Always buy at the top of a hill."
Yeah.
For that very reason.
Right. Do you know what?
Tunage.
It's time for some cheesy tunage, and I did struggle with this. This is in homage to our next guest, the lovely Emma Haynes, and her documentary and film. So you'll never get, Jules normally names these tunes in one, but she'll never get this.
I do know that, but I can't remember. We don't have to take our clothes off.
No. It's life is a roller coaster.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You see what I did there?
Who's it by?
Ronan Keating.
Yeah, I know the song. I'm not a big boy band fan.
Well, listen.
But it's nice. Yeah.
Life is a roller part of our community to build your social media habits with workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk.
Does your business have great customer service? Are you a successful small or large business? Are you creative or innovative? Whatever your business strengths, you need to shout them out. So what's stopping you? Enter the Kent Business Awards now. Get your easy-to-complete application form from businessawardskent.co.uk.
Talis Independent Financial Advisors can help you invest, organise your pensions, and even get you the best possible life insurance, mortgage, or equity release deal. Check out talisifa.com.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
That was Life is a Roller Coaster by Ronan Keating, and that was my my kind of cheesy tunage effort at Emma here with her playing with life. Did you see what I did there?
Yeah.
Yeah, roller coaster life. Yeah, sorry about that. Listen, it's an absolute pleasure to welcome Emma onto the show, Emma Haynes. Emma, thank you for joining us all the way from Brighton.
Yeah.
I didn't realise you were coming that far.
Yeah, it's a road trip.
Yeah. Yeah, so anyway, look, tell us a little bit about you first of all. You're a musician and a filmmaker.
Yeah, where to start? I was a teacher previously.
Teaching what?
I taught all kinds. No, not just kids, actually. Adults as well. I worked at the
music
architecture school of Montpellier for a while. In
oh, wow. Okay.
Maybe. But what were you teaching? Architecture.
Oh, okay. No, it was sort of English, but architectural themed stuff in English. So
there we go. How does that work?
Le brick.
Exactly.
Paintbrush.
Le tour Eiffel.
Exactly what it was. It was my job.
Wow. So did you love living in France?
I did, yeah. Yeah, I lived there for 4 years.
I've got one word to say to you about France. Clermont. Did you discover Clermont?
I think I did.
So Clermont, you need to go back if you didn't. So Clermont is made in the Champagne method, but it's not allowed to be called Champagne because it's not made in Champagne.
Oh.
And it's a lot cheaper. And it's very, very nice.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Clermont. Great. Get back there.
Oh, I will.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. so I moved there. I went straight after my PGCE, training to become a teacher. I had about £100 in my bank, no job lined up, and I went there, couldn't speak French, and somehow sort of built a life there for 4 years.
Wow.
Apart from that, I used to play football, used to play for Fulham Reserves.
Wow, okay.
Love that.
I nearly called you Emma Haynes. I'm a Chelsea fan, and she's the manager of Chelsea Ladies, a very successful team, and I nearly called you Emma Haynes then, rather than Haynes.
Well, it would have been an honour.
So what position did you play?
Striker or winger.
Wow. Mm. For Fulham, did you say?
Fulham Reserves, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, lovely.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you live in Fulham at that time? Or?
No. Where do I live? Surrey.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I sort of grew up between Shropshire and Surrey.
No need to say Surrey. Oh, sorry, Surrey. Okay, right. I'm from Fulham, originally.
Are you?
Yes.
But you didn't play for Fulham Ladies Reserves.
I didn't play for Fulham anything, no.
So why did you leave France, Montpellier?
Well, actually, the reason I left France was because of this prescription medicine injury.
Right.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, where to start? It's so hard to know sort of where to begin with the story. I, in the middle of doing my teacher training, I contracted a virus. I was on a year 5 placement in a school in Southampton. Contracted a virus and sort of very quickly knew that something was really wrong and went to the doctors.
It was still in France, eh?
No, this was in Southampton.
Right,
this
okay.
Uni Southampton. Caught a virus, went to the doctors, and they said there's nothing really wrong. It's just sort of in your head that you're not feeling
kind
well.
Kind of into gaslight, yeah.
A little bit, yeah. And I was saying to them, I can't breathe properly. This virus isn't like the ones I've had previously. This is something different. And I remember feeling something literally snap in my body.
Mm.
And for a whole year, I could not breathe properly. But wasn't being believed by doctors. And at one point, they just said to me, we're missing the elephant in the room. You've got chronic fatigue syndrome. So they printed off this like A4 handout, gave me that, and that was it. They just sent me on my way. I was 23 at the time, and no follow-up appointment. So I just thought, it's not that serious, you know. I've just got to, it's in my head. I'm doing something wrong. I'm not being strong enough, et cetera, et cetera.
What, so chronic fatigue they just thought was in your head? In other words, ME.
ME, yeah. They just thought I had ME and that I was stressed in teaching.
But ME, I thought, was post-viral syndrome.
It is, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But they just gave me this handout. They didn't give any advice, and there was nothing really useful on the handout.
Mm.
So I carried on doing my PGCE. I went from being a really sort of high-end performing student.
And a football player and sporty and healthy.
Fulham was the year before, so it was very...
But you're still, you were an athlete.
Yeah. Yeah. And I went from that to some of the teachers that I was working with telling me that I was at risk of failing. And I was saying to them, it's because I can't breathe properly. But of course, I didn't have the validation from doctors. I had nothing to show for that. And I would, in between lessons, I'd go to the store cupboard and cry because I felt like I couldn't breathe properly. Mm. And I just thought I was going crazy. I didn't know what to do.
If you can't breathe, it's like drowning, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's awful. I don't want to interrupt because it's a powerful story you're telling. But the symptoms of not being able to breathe, was that similar to like a panic attack where you can't catch your breath? Or was it more sustained, if you see what I mean?
A bit of both. It was sort of a little bit of it all the time, but then at other times it would heighten.
Yeah.
There were times when I had to lie on the floor because I felt like that was the best way of getting the most oxygen.
Mm. Okay.
Twice I had ambulances and went to Southampton Hospital, and twice I got sent home being told nothing was wrong.
So the virus must have attacked your lungs and your airways.
Yeah.
Inflammation and,
And this is what I'd find out when I did then move to France. I finished my PGCE just past.
Wow, well done.
Thank you. And I, at the time, was in a relationship with somebody French, and we decided to move to France together. And I thought, you know what, if it is just stress, if it is in my head, then the south of France is literally the perfect antidote. Wine, sunshine, great food. So we moved there, and of course, nothing changed with my health. I kept feeling like I couldn't breathe properly. And I was going to the French doctors. And this happened for about 3 months, and I got a job within my first week, and I was going to my job, and I still felt like I couldn't breathe.
And did the French doctors give you the same gaslighting, or did they?
At first,
really?
Yeah. So I had my final straw was when I went to a doctor, and she said to me, "I think we're just going to have to wait and see if something happens." And I just looked at her and went, no,
you collapsed.
You're dead. Now you're dead,
I think something was wrong. So I sort of, I had to be a bit more assertive at that point and just say, you have to send me to somebody. So they sent me to a pneumonologist. And at this point, it had been a year of different
tests. Had they done any sort of breathing, whatever that puppy thing is that they do?
I did one at a GP in the UK, at GPs, and she said, oh, it's fine. So I thought, it's fine. But when I went to this pneumologist, I went in this bigger machine, and I honestly was just expecting the same sort of rubbish, that you're fine. He said to me, your lung capacity is at 60%.
Wow.
And you developed kind of asthma because of this virus. So straight away, I was put on really strong steroids and sent home and was to have lots of follow-up tests, et cetera, et cetera.
At that point, when you finally had some kind of diagnosis, how did you actually feel about that? Was there some kind of relief that somebody had actually found something, if you see what I mean?
Absolutely, yeah. The validation and relief that this was not in my head, that actually resonated with the symptoms that I was having.
Mm.
But then what started happening is I started having panic attacks. I imagine there was a sort of hangover effect from the year of not being able to breathe properly.
Yeah. Mm.
And so I was on holiday with my family. I had a panic attack. We drove to the nearest doctors in the north of France. And it was there that they said to me, if you want your life back, you have to take this drug. And they just slid it across the table. And I just thought, well, yeah, I don't want to have panic attacks anymore. And, of course, I'd just been in a country where they'd given me the answer, so I trusted in this doctor completely.
Mm.
After a few months, maybe even less time of being on that drug, I wanted to come off it.
What was the drug?
So it was called bromazepam, which is a type of benzodiazepine. So this is your likes of your Xanax, your Valium, etc.
So he was treating you for brain rather, for mental stress.
Anxiety.
He wasn't, so you were on your steroids and that for your lungs, but he also decided that you needed to be tranquilized almost.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, they're the standard antidepressants that they prescribe for people, aren't they? No matter what they've got.
Those ones aren't antidepressants, but they are anti-anxiety medications.
Yeah.
And just like antidepressants, they're given out like candy.
Everything.
Yeah.
So I was put on those. I asked to come off them after a few months because I felt drugged up and I hated it. I just thought, this isn't me.
Did they make you feel sleepy and
drowsy,
zoned out?
Yeah. Mm. So I just felt like on the one hand, it improved some of the anxiety, but on the other hand, it really took away a quality of life.
And they didn't suggest things like yoga or...
No.
other ways?
Nothing.
Okay.
So when I asked to come off it, they refused. they actually refused to let me off it, instead increased my dosage.
Really?
Thinking that the reason why I was still struggling was because it was the stuff in my head, therefore I needed more of the drug. So they increased my dosage over 4 years. I went on to the maximum dosage. Mm. And by that point, I had all kinds of new symptoms like tachycardia, so heart palpitations. Mm. This was very prominent.
Do you think a lot of those increased symptoms were caused by the actual drug?
Side effects. This is what I now know.
Yeah.
At the time, I didn't know.
Yeah,
because I was trusting in the doctor.
And you were young.
But you trust. You know, we've got this thing in society about trusting experts, haven't we? Which is great as long as they're right.
Well, it's how we're brought up. We're brought up to respect doctors and trust doctors. And you were young.
Mm. Yeah. Exactly. So after 4 years, was going to the French doctor saying, my heart is doing weird things, please help me.
Hmm.
And they didn't. They did send me to a cardiologist, but he said, you're fine. Again, Groundhog Day. And after I went to a French doctor who said to me, look, I think we need to analyse your dreams. I think that's where the answer is. I thought, you know, I've had enough. I'm going to come back to the UK, even if it's just temporarily, to sort of find the answers. Because I spoke fairly good French at that point, but obviously medical French was a different story.
Mm.
So I'll come back to the UK, get the answers, and then maybe go back once I've figured this out. Came back to the UK and was told I should have been on the drug for a week maximum. And
so a completely different approach in the UK from France. And I just need to backtrack. You were with a partner at the time.
Yeah.
And your relationship managed to survive all this.
No.
It didn't, I was going to say.
No.
It would be very difficult.
And it had a very heavy... It's sort of the frog in boiling water analogy, where I just didn't realise what was happening to me.
Yeah.
It did cause personality changes. I was very subdued. I sort of was just not myself.
Well, you were drugged.
Yeah, I was drugged out.
So you're now back in England.
Yeah.
And a doctor has told you that you shouldn't have been taking what you've been taking as long as you've been taking it.
Yeah.
Where did they take you next? What did they do next?
They wanted me to go on a different type of benzodiazepine to taper off. At that point, I was so drugged up by this drug, right? And so scared, and I felt so alone and unsure of what to do, that I just thought, I can't trust doctors anymore.
Yeah.
So what do I do? I decided that the most sensible thing would be to come off it and rebuild my life without being on this anymore.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you've seen the film Requiem for a Dream with Jared Leto, where he's going through all the drug withdrawal. I saw that when I was a teenager in the cinema. Put me off drugs for life. Never wanted to touch drugs. And I just thought it would be like that for a few weeks or even a few months, but at least then I'd be free. Unfortunately, it was 5 years.
Wow.
And my body went into a kind of shock.
Okay, so let me just kind of understand where you are here. You've stopped taking the drugs, yeah? And now for 5 years, did you say, is that your original symptoms returning, part of going cold turkey, both? What was happening to you?
It was cold turkey, so I now know there's something called benzodiazepine-induced neurological disorder.
Right.
That's what I was going through. It essentially caused a brain injury and a central nervous system injury,
right,
which meant that I was housebound for 5 years, had 35 ambulances in that time for tachycardia, and probably anywhere between 20, 30, 40 symptoms in a day. And the same thing happened. I went back to the doctors and I said, look, something's clearly not right here. I've travelled the world. I used to live on a boat. I used to play for Fulham. I now can't leave the flat.
Right.
I can't have a bath without my heart being at scarily high rates. First ambulance I had, it was at 180 BPM. So for the first 2 years, I was going back and forth to the doctors, and they told me yet again, it's just in your head. It's just anxiety. It's just stress. And it was finally in 2019 that my 35th ambulance crew were the first medical professionals, bearing in mind at this point I'd seen hundreds of medical professionals across the country.
You work your way through the entire card.
Just about networking. this ambulance crew were the first medical professionals to sit down with me for the amount of time it took to actually go through all the symptoms, go through all the history. I think it took about 2 hours, and I'm so grateful to them. I think their names are Jenna and Joe, some of their ambulance crew. So if I can ever repay them. And they said to me, it was a drug you run in France. It's the benzodiazepine. We've seen this in other people. And at that point, I just, again, didn't know who to believe, didn't know if that was the truth, and I started researching it, and I thought, this is it. And that's when I realised that this is a huge, huge problem around the world, in the UK, but also other countries. affecting many people, and it's a very misunderstood issue.
Mm. Absolutely. So, in terms of time frame, where are we now? How long ago was this?
So this, I came off the benzo in 2017. Beginning of 2017, I had to give up my work, couldn't work anymore. And then I would say up until about maybe 6 months ago, I was pretty much housebound most of the time.
Mm. Okay. And of course, it wouldn't have been helped by going all the way through the lockdown and COVID and everything else, just to spice it up a bit there.
Exactly. Okay. And of course, I was terrified about getting another virus because it was all set off by a virus.
Especially one with lung breathing, which is how they sold it at the time.
Exactly. So ironically, January this year was the first month where I felt like I might actually be getting back to a baseline of health.
Right.
And 3 weeks into that, I caught COVID. And of course, I couldn't have a COVID vaccine because of what had happened.
Probably a wise thing. So let's not go there.
Yeah, another conversation. But yeah.
I mean, that is a very harrowing story. What can you say? There's not a lot you can say, you know.
The trouble is that all doctors are trained in pharma. That's all they know.
Yeah.
They don't know about herbs. They don't know about alternatives.
Well, some of them know about dreams.
I mean, he sounds bizarre, but all they learn in medical school is drugs, and that's all they know. And it's just suppressing. It's not really helping when they should have given you advice about, I don't know, you had some sort of ME, presumably, some post-viral, and they should have given you advice on how to repair your lungs for a start. There are things that, will repair.
Well, it turns out that I didn't have ME after all. I went to a specialist for the first time 7 years after I was given a SAFOR handout, and he said to me, yeah, I don't think you've got that. So for 7 years, I believed I had that as well.
It is an odd thing, isn't it? And I guess what makes you wonder is in previous years, in decades and maybe even a century gone past, how many people suffered with things because we just totally, utterly believed what the medical profession would tell us, and with access to greater social media and awareness and things like that, stories come out all the time now where, people will tell their story. And a completely different situation. My mum's 94. She's got early onset dementia. A couple of years ago, she spent a lot of time going in and out of hospital. And depending on which doctor you spoke to, you got a completely different story. Even something as basic as this. My mum's GP diagnosed her as pre-diabetic. When she was admitted to hospital for a problem, they said, has she got any problems? So I said, she's pre-diabetic. The consultant looked at me and went, don't talk nonsense. And I said, her GP diagnosed that, and he went, yeah, well, they would. That's the diagnosis du jour, is what he said, but she's not diabetic. Mm. As soon as she got home and went back to the doctors again, they got all feisty about putting her on a diabetic diet again.
But
that isn't the point. I mean, she's 94, it doesn't matter. I can't care less if she eats a bar of chocolate or not. She's 94, it doesn't matter. But the point is, two health professionals in the same health trust completely disagree with each other. So what, as a patient, what do you do? Who do you believe? Just you see a third one. The problem with that is you get a completely different diagnosis.
It's often other people that have been through similar journeys that help each other.
Yeah.
And that's where social media, of course, has been great help to me. And there's places like Health Unlocked. I don't know if you've discovered them.
No.
Health Unlocked, amazing groups of people with different diseases. So Health Unlocked Thyroid for me was really, really helpful. But how did you go about getting your strength back and getting, into music and stuff?
Yeah, it was a day-by-day process. And, social media was a massive help. Connecting with other people on the internet that had gone through this not only gave me validation, but gave me advice and understanding of how to deal with this. Relatively clean eating. It was never 100% perfect. It still isn't.
You're just a human.
Exactly, yeah. And I think it can be sort of counterintuitive to put yourself under so much pressure to be healthy, but then it becomes stressful. So,
but were you still getting withdrawals after?
Yeah.
And panic attacks and things.
I still am. I still deal with symptoms every single day. Mm. It's gradually got better. It's been a non-linear process.
How long have you been off?
Six years.
Yeah. Okay. So it's out of your system now.
It is. Yeah.
Which is the positive thing.
Yeah.
But now it's about rebuilding your strength.
And my central nervous system and the brain.
Yeah.
Sort of healing all of that, yeah.
If you don't mind, because we're kind of fast approaching the time to go to the news, and there's still some things that I want to talk to you about, like, which is what you're up to now, because you've talked about your music and a documentary. About presumably about what you've gone through. So explain to us about the documentary. Where is it? Mm-hmm. How you're doing it, and how we can help if we can help.
Yeah, thank you. So the documentary is in pre-production. Mm. Part of my recovery journey has been turning to songwriting and art as a way to sort of survive this.
Mm. Brilliant.
It's really been that creative therapy.
Using your brain.
Exactly. Yeah. And sort of that intuition rather than the cognitive, because I still have some cognitive issues.
Yeah.
And so at some point along the way, when I realized the scale of this issue, 1 in 4 Americans are on a benzodiazepine, 10 to 15% will end up seriously injured. We're talking about tens of millions of people a year, and the global stats are unknown. We don't know what the global situation is with benzos. People are committing suicide left, right, and center because of this. So I thought, how can I use my story and my knowledge and turn it into something that can help others and prevent others being injured by this? So the idea for the film came up, and I thought, rather than doing it in a very sort of straight, everybody needs to hear this kind of way, could I do it in a sort of poetic, creative, musical way? And that's where I came up with Playing With Life. And the premise for the film is that I'm writing the soundtrack for the film as part of the film itself.
Mm.
So I wrote the first two tracks, produced them, funded it all myself, and they both got onto BBC Introducing.
Heck,
and I thought, okay, there's something here. I've got to just, you know, take it to the next level. And that's the premise for the film, is documenting my story, but really using that as the beginning vehicle, because it's what I know best, and then panning out to the wider issue, other people's stories, what is going on in the world, and really shining a light on this, because all of us are potentially at risk. I was a teacher, 23-year-old teacher. This happened to me. It can happen to anyone. Mm. I know many different people from many walks of life that have gone through a similar thing.
And those doctors are still prescribing.
Yeah. I had someone message me last week on Facebook saying, my doctor's just prescribed me this. They now want to give me an antibiotic. And I just saw on Twitter yesterday from Benzodiazepine Information Coalition, which is an amazing organization run by doctors, and they said that it's now been shown that it's actually life-threatening to be given a benzodiazepine and antibiotic, certain types of antibiotics.
Together.
And yet the FDA has not recognized this, and doctors are still handing them out. So this is an emergency on a massive scale. The film's in pre-production. At the moment, I'm trying to get it funded so I can take it into production in 2024 and get this message out there.
Okay. And how are you looking to get that funded? Are you going to start a crowdfunder, or are you just looking for investors, or both?
Looking at all avenues. Yeah, right. Partnerships. I am in talk with a potential partnership with a film school who are interested in helping out, but keeping all options open and finding the best way to get this produced in the most effective way as soon as possible.
Cool. Emma, it's been fascinating talking to you. Your story is harrowing and quite worrisome from a number of points of view, but your personal strength shines through on that and how you've kind of adapted and coped and then built on your experiences is a really powerful story. And thank you so much for sharing that with us. If people want to find out more about you, your story, the film, your music, what you're doing, how can they do that?
Yeah, and thank you, and thanks so much for having me here. So the website for the film is playingwithlife.com, and my personal website is emmahames.com. Some of the music is there. There's a new track coming out actually in the next couple of weeks, so excited to check out.
Send us the track. We'll play it. I'll work it in as cheesy tunes somewhere. What's it called?
Ghost Long Gone is the new one. Ghost Long Gone.
Oh, I forget. Ghost on one eye. That's what I need. Who operates the ghost train at Dreamland? We'll have them on, just so I can play the cheesy tunes.
I'm trying to copy the word benzodiazepine.
Yeah.
So I can.
Bennies. They're called Bennies.
They are called Benzos for short.
Yeah.
But it won't really copy it. It's very annoying. Because it's a hashtag.
Yeah. Thank you for that, Emma. All of those links to Emma's website can be found on the Kent Business Radio website. So if you didn't get to write them down, they're there and they will stay there forever. So with this show, which is show number 636. So they'll be there. Emma, thank you so much for that. Do stay with us for the rest of the show. We're going to join the Channel Radio newsroom in about 10 minutes or so. But we're going to catch up with some of the tweets and emails we've got. What you got, Jules?
Okay, so Cooper Burnett team has walked 500 kilometres to Demelza House.
I thought you said it was the Proclaimers.
What?
Walk 500 miles.
Oh, yeah. And heaver. Would I heaver?
Yeah, yeah.
I never knew what that was. A team from the Tunbridge Wells-based law firm Cooper Burnett LLP has raised more than £5,500 for the Demelza Hospice, which the firm's partners have pound matched, resulting in the Children's Hospice charity receiving more than £11,000.
Wow, well done, Coopers. Yeah.
And the Magnificent Seven partners Victoria Sampson, Joseph Oates, Gemma. I'm feeding oats to my fish at the moment because they're eating me out of house and home.
These, your fish?
Yeah, these 25-year-old koi carp. They eat so much.
Oats.
Yeah, cooked porridge I'm giving them. God, I've got to save money somewhere. They eat a whole load of... Yeah, off the spoon they have it.
Yeah.
Head of accounts, Gareth Warner. He'd be a good person to know, wouldn't he?
Mm.
Gemma Gillespie and Sarah Strong. The associate solicitor, Isla Clitold. And the PA to the commercial property team, Hannah Mashford. So they conquered the Ultra Marathon Challenge and the Deluxe Race to the King over the weekend. And that was Saturday the 17th and the 18th of June. And it involved two ultramarathon distances of 50 kilometres along the Monarch's Way from Goodwood and back again. So well done, everybody. You can still support them, they say. Go to their Just Giving page, which will be on kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
Yeah. Cool. Well done, all of you folks. I had a tweet from Martin Reeves, Collector's Buddy. He says, I'd love a Business Bunker shout-out, please, for Collector's Buddy. We'll be listening live as I've been given a list of household jobs to do while I'm listening. So thank you, Martin. He's back in the loft again, isn't he?
I do love a handyman.
Yeah, yeah.
If only I could find one.
I've heard, yeah.
Yeah.
Wayne Cunnington has tweeted, the sun isn't rearing its head today, seemingly, so I'm rather decent, but the studio will be rather comfortable with air conditioning, it sounds, yeah.
He's talking about speedos.
Yeah, I know, yeah, yeah, I'm trying to ignore that bit. What else you got?
Oh, well, I'm trying to tweet Benny's, as you call them. They were, I was going to think of Simon and Garfunkel, of course, with Mrs. Robinson, because she was on all sorts of things, wasn't she, Mrs. Robinson?
Oh, really?
You have to listen to the song. Yeah, well, she used to hide her cupcakes, and she was drinking, and that's the whole theme of the song, wasn't it?
Oh.
But housewives were well known for being put on Valium, yeah, weren't they, in the 60s and 50s.
Yeah.
Island Works is the new co-working event, meeting room, startup incubator, and coffee shop.
Mm.
And they've got community open day. It's on Saturday, July the 22nd. That's the diary date. Dockyard Church, Naval Terrace. All very naval, isn't it? Sheerness, ME12, 1RR. Please wear navy and white and a triangular hat.
No, you don't. No, you don't. Don't listen to her. Anyone's welcome. Open 10 till 3. Just pop in.
Details on kentbusinessradio.co.uk with a little slash and put calendar and you'll find that. And it's the 22nd of July.
Yeah. Sarah Marsh Collins has tweeted, listening to the Business Bunker show this afternoon, I was waiting with bated breath for the cheesy tunage Paul came up with. See, the thing is, when she was a guest on a few weeks ago, Sarah, I came up with some really bizarre tune that I found that really nailed it. Do you remember?
Sorry, I'm tweeting, can't
you? Yeah, you're not...
I'm trying to tweet. What happened with your bizarre journey?
Yeah, when Sarah Marsh Collins was on, she runs a company called...
Babel Monkey.
Babel Monkey, and they're social media specialists. And I found a tune called...
Oh, yeah.
Tweet Monkey.
Yeah, yeah.
Unbelievably. Really good, yeah. Anyway, I hope you like the tune that I picked, Sarah, especially for Emma. A bit of Ronan Keating...
Right, I think I've managed to tweak that with Emma's video. So if you're listening, there are on our Twitter some videos of Emma. And then Casey K9 has tweeted in. He'd like a shout out because he's in the doghouse.
So what's he done?
This is my greyhound's boyfriend. So my greyhound is Darcy, and this is Casey K9, and he's in the doghouse after pinching Doris's flatbread for my lunch. He said,
because
they're too tall, they just pilfer off the sweet pie. Greedy greyhound. So sorry about that. And what will Doris have for her lunch now? Hope she's
dog
got
food.
Yeah.
Get her own back.
Kibble.
Eat his chum.
Kibble. I had a sleepover with my... Darcy had a little Labrador friend for the weekend. It was quite amusing.
Right, okay. Seven Lakes Chamber of Commerce have got a net walking event.
Net walking. All right.
Yeah. This event welcomes local businesses and individuals to network face-to-face, offering an opportunity to build valuable business relationships while enjoying a lovely walk. Yeah. And a talk. The walk will be about 1 hour, and with lunch provided by Thackeray Williams Solicitors. Meet outside the restaurant, and the walk takes place in Knoll Park in Seven Oaks, which is lovely. It's this Friday, the 30th of June, 10:30. All the details can be found on campusesradio.co.uk/calendar.
And MHA McIntyre Hudson, they're also accountants, and they're hosting a free workshop. We love a free one. At the Business Terrace. It's providing an update for current tax issues, which will be relevant to SMEs, many of our listeners, and their owners. So it's on the 29th of June, which happens to be a Thursday. It's 9 to 10:30, and it's at the Business Terrace in Maidstone. And they're also hosting a celebratory networking event to mark the 8th anniversary of the Business Terrace, which will be on Thursday the 13th of July. So you can go to Kent Business Radio yet again, .co.uk, and go on the /calendar, and you will find all those details.
Cool. The Spirit of Tenterton Festival.
Ooh.
Street food, music, crafts, a dog show, and much, much more. Are you going?
I might, not as a dog, but I'd take my dog.
No, don't go as a dog. No. Take your dog with you.
I'll take my dog.
Yeah. It's Friday the 30th of June. That's this Friday. And this weekend, the 1st and 2nd of July.
I might go.
And the whole thing is sponsored by Tenterton Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah, I might go.
Yeah.
I might meet Katie Canine there.
Yeah, you might. It sounds fun. It'll be on the recreation ground, so it'll be quite nice. What else you got?
Canterbury City Show, they've created Canterbury Residence Group and Canterbury Community Group, and it's the birth, they say, of an annual Canterbury tradition. Join in, you won't regret it. And it's the 8th and the 9th of July. Again, go to www.kentbusinessradio.co.uk calendar, and you'll find out more. There's also a Marsh Network, which is the next meeting is at the Ship Inn in Dimchurch. It's a lovely pub. A free house, I believe, Paul Andrews, which I'm very fond of, free houses. I don't like a chain, do you? I like a free house. Get different beer, different food. Is he listening?
I'm not listening to you.
He's looking at something. So Dimchurch this is. So it's if you're around that area, it's the 29th of June, 7:45 to 9:15. And you can go to www.marshnetwork.co.uk to just book there. I think it's free and you just turn up and pay for your breakfast, don't you?
Something like that.
Yeah.
I've had a tweet from Best Business Events, and they say a big congratulations to Women in Business finalists for the Kent Awards Canterbury. The finalists are Nadine Morris of Boy and Oyster.
Oh, yeah.
Liz Jeffrey of Shoreway Marketing. Judith Andrews, no relation, Business Tamer. Sarah Bell, King's Professional Hairdressing. Theo Johnson, Zoe B Beauty, and they say a big thank you to the sponsors of the award, who are Brett's BR.
What's Brett's BR?
Building. Sponsors of the award.
Is it builders?
No, Brett's are the business recovery people.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because there are Brett's the builders, isn't there?
Yes, there are, but no, they're business recovery.
And we've got a Kent Women in Business, Sue Hainsby and Deb Turner, and all the brilliant Kent women in business.
It's their brunch again, isn't it?
They all have cervixes.
Probably. Yeah. I haven't checked personally.
Unless you listen to Jeremy Vine. Yeah. For a summer event, inspirational speakers, networking, and delicious brunch.
Yeah.
So they've got a speaker called Debbie Kemp. She's from the Uni of Kent University.
She runs the MBA program there.
Okay.
Really, really lovely lady. She's been a guest on the show, actually, a couple of years ago. Yeah.
I remember. And then also Julie Bartlett, who's an award-winning women's wellness practitioner. And this event is at Bradbourne House, which is in East Malling. Or Malling.
It's Malling.
Malling. Should have a W there, I think. ME19, 6, D for Donald, and Z for Zebra. And it's June the 29th at 9:30 to 12:30. And you can go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk. Say it with me. /calendar.
Fantastic. Kent Business Awards has been on again, and they say, are you interested in a great marketing opportunity? Why not sponsor one of our business awards? Awards Kent is their Twitter handle, and it's Kent Business Awards 2023. You not only will make your business stand out, but reach a significant number of potential new customers. You can find out more by going to their website. Give them a follow on Twitter, and you can find all the details. At Awards Kent is their Twitter handle.
And Martin and, Reeves.
And hold on, I haven't finished. There's a gala dinner for all the various awards taking place in November.
I love a gala dinner.
And I'm hosting it.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I'll still go.
Yeah.
You tend to overrun on them, don't you? It's not your fault, though. I'm not blaming you. But do you remember that one? I was very concerned.
We didn't get dinner till about 11 o'clock.
I got my pyjamas on by the time the dinner came.
Yeah.
Well, we're going up to the news, so I might save Martin Reeves.
Yeah, save it. We're going to go to the news.
Save him for the best later, yeah.
Yeah. We're going to join the newsroom. When we come back, we've got some other fantastic guests to speak to. We're going to talk to Mark Woodcock of
Job Matcher.
And we'll...